Yes, yes, sir.
Mr. Rieger's walking forward. I have a prior commitment.
You have to leave, don't you?
But for the benefit of the public, I will listen to the tape, and I certainly take all the public's comments very seriously.
That's right.
I don't want anybody to have any.
That's right. So don't any of you call me after the meeting and say, "I can't believe he walked out."
I can't believe you took my blop comment seriously. Thank you.
What's that?
You took my blop comment seriously.
We're gonna name a blop after you.
That's gonna be a district that shows up in the.
Yes.
I think I've had several blops named after me. Mr. Rieger?
Mr. Rieger, come on up.
Sorry, Mr. Rieger. I didn't mean to interrupt you. No problem. Great day. Paul Rieger. Basically, two things that I wanted to ask today. Number one, I listened to the morning part, and you started talking about the variances or different setbacks and ordinance changes. Is a while ago when this discussion came up early in the process, I thought that you weren't getting into like definitions, different ordinances and changes in codes, and then coming in for like the chicken houses with the setbacks, getting into that. Is that part of this? Because that's mainly as to where is for to send it into a Catholic County issue, correct? To have them for voice concerns about an issue concerning zoning to the county, not at this.
Well,
this meetings.
Yeah, as you know, when we open up for public comment, people can come up and say pretty much anything they want. And while the gentleman was addressing mostly ordinance things, which really isn't what we're doing now, but I felt like his comments might at least inform what we're doing now. So we certainly let him say his piece. But the land use plan will not be establishing setbacks or anything. That is way more specific than the land use plan is going to be. So no, that it really isn't what we're doing right now. But it did let us know that there was a concern out there that maybe part of the plan might be to look at some of those things, to consider, you know, a review of setback requirements. But that's the most the land use plan would say. It wouldn't be establishing anything new.
Yeah, because that's why I very basically have been really
sure.
paying attention or coming in, voicing on this. But concerning the land use plan, and I think that this ties into it,
mm-hmm.
considering I live in a GR with the general residential.
Right.
You start putting up all the AR zoning, ag thing in there. With that being such mirrored more towards AR, I would tend to say when you put AR1, put AR1 GR. I would take the GR out of comparing it and keep putting it into MR, because every time I ask a question about it, the GR, I'm told it's AR. Basically, I was told originally GR is just because of a single wide mobile home. And I've argued the point that the density is 4 versus the 2 in that realm. So if, and I even asked this question, and I laid it out there at one of the meetings. I said, if I was a farmer in agriculture, in AR, I would want to zone GR. I would not want to be AR. I would want to go to GR. I can do all the same uses. I have all the special uses. I have everything, except for I have 10-foot setbacks versus 15 all the way around. I gain 5 feet around all my acreage to wherever I want to put my storage buildings and the whole 9 yards. So I would think that in the comp plan, the GR and AR, like the definitions for AR, GR, and definitions for basically agriculture and farming, is that part of this coming in, or is that revert back to the county with what I got?
Well, the comp plan wouldn't redefine anything, but the comp plan might say, to your point, that that those elements need to be reviewed, looked at, and consider making changes along the lines that you suggested, but the comp plan would not make those changes. It would only say that it is something that we should look at, and then later on, county council would take that up in the form of an ordinance if they decided to do so.
But Ken, in one part, can you look at the AR and the GR the way that you put it up on that grids? Mm-hmm. Because when I see like the AR1 zoning farm district and whatever, it should say the AR1 GR district, because I'm assuming there's a lot of GR.
No, there's not.
No,
really
there's
not
a lot of GR. That's the thing. The
your GR
is a separate classification, was a separate color on the map.
Yeah.
It's a separate thing.
Your GR was probably zoned in 1970,
yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah, yeah. You've probably been GR since the beginning of zoning.
So are we done then with doing GR zoning?
Well,
except by request.
Yeah, I mean, the county isn't on its own creating anymore, but somebody can come in and request GR zoning, like any other zoning change request.
Okay, good. That's why, I mean, I've heard,
oh, yeah.
I've understood.
Oh, no, it's not a closed.
I wasn't sure that.
It's not a closed district like C1 is. C1's closed. You can't ask for C1 anymore, but you can ask for GR. If somebody wanted GR, they could come in and ask for it.
Yeah, because I scratched my head over that continuously.
Yeah.
And different things.
You're not by yourself.
The only other question I have to ask, and I apologize, Mr. Hopkins, this morning during the tape, you had said something, and it came across as when you had said that you live by Dogfish or something.
We're doing some work on my house in Bridgeville, so I'm temporarily living in Milton.
Okay. Now, does that that's for another day for the districting, but I've been concerned about districts, where council members' districts are, and for different things in that nature, as long as we stay within guidelines on how that all works. So, as long as I guess that's somebody, we're perfectly fine because we have two and two, and we can have two and one. So we're perfectly fine in that. I just wanted it to be clarified with three board members. Terms are up this year again because of all the appointments in June. So it's just where everybody's going, everybody's moving for that terminology.
I think Mr. Hopkins' situation is temporary.
Yeah, my residence is Bridgeville.
Yeah, your permanent residence is Bridgeville.
That's what I had assumed. Then and I says this has all been scratched. But then when I heard I live by Dogfish, and I says, I don't know where Dogfish is. I know I don't hear that coming on our side of
right.
the town.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you. Who's next? Oh, my goodness. Going once? I knew it.
Mr. Horsey.
Mr. Horsey.
I was trying to see who else would come on.
I know you were.
Good afternoon. Bobby Horsey from Laurel, Delaware.
Yes, sir.
Couple of things. I tried to make some quick notes. Goal 1.2. As you were going through the goals and objectives mm-hmm. towards the end, because mm-hmm. I was late getting here. The impact fees on the last bullet point. They surely do feel like adequate public facility fees. I just going through a bunch of stuff up in Dover with DENREC trying to get definitions. I strongly urge you to define the definition of infrastructure. What will that fee be classified for? I also would like to comment on Marty's Mr. Ross said a while ago that fees normally take away from the property values. That's 100% correct. As you know, I stated a couple of weeks ago, don't want anybody to touch our property rights or our property values. And the more fees you add on, the more developers take from the property owners. So be cautious with the fees. With that, a couple examples, I can tell you, you guys know we've been in business 31 years. I've seen a lot of developments get approved in areas. Fees get attached after they were adopted and approved by townships. And I know one town that absolutely killed three projects. All three of them went belly up just to the adoption of fees after these projects were approved. So be cautious. Don't kill the golden goose. TIDs. A couple weeks ago, Janelle, when I think Joe Conaway was up here talking, and he something about the TIDs come up, and I guess you were challenged by DelDOT to take the district over to Lewis or proposing and come up with a unit count or proposed unit count of the properties within that proposed TID district. I think your comment was that you were actually taking the properties and putting today's zoning on them and giving, and that's what you were handing over to DelDOT. I was just wanting a clarification.
Okay, so as part of a TID, the boundary is up to county council to determine that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at a boundary. It's not set, and then to figure out what road improvements could be done, you need to have an idea of what development could occur. So the county's attempt is going to be: what is the base zoning? What is the current zoning of those properties, and how could you develop with those current zonings, and get that information to DelDOT so they can run their model to determine what will occur, what could potentially need to be done for road improvements based on current zoning, and if things developed based on current zoning.
Right, but as based on current zoning, we're in the middle of a comprehensive land use plan that I think people are trying to get extra density on areas where the development wants to occur, to preserve farmland out in rural areas. So I asked cautiously to give those, be careful on what densities you give DLDOT, because that's automatically going to set the development rights of those property owners inside that district. So with that, I'm not beating you up, with that, I asked you to, the TID should run a parallel course as a comprehensive land use plan. Don't let DLDOT get out in front of us with the TID, or it's going to set the zoning of those properties in that district. And by right, the state will control what happens in it within that district. So I cautiously ask y'all to make sure DLDOT TID district that's being proposed and the comprehensive land use plan runs a parallel course.
And there's an ability to do a different, if the Planning Commission so chooses to look at land use and potential zoning, we can look at that again later. Right now, it's just to get a baseline of, most of it is AR1. So with the AR1 zoning district, what is that density and how many units? And get, again, what current zoning is, not changing anybody's zoning, not taking anything away, because right now you have what the current zoning is, and then getting that information to DLDOT.
But it wasn't the purpose for that, so that they could the DOT could start making, plugging into their computer and making plans.
Yes, and which is why we're giving them the baseline, what currently could be developed with today's zoning, getting them that information, and then they'll run that model, get a baseline of what road improvements are needed, and if the Planning Commission so chooses, as we go through our discussion on the land use, changes the land use to something that's more intense, because I doubt it's going to be less intense if it's low density, it would probably potentially be more intense, we could rerun that, get additional information to DLDOT. But right now the plan is just using current zoning.
Do they know that?
Yes, they do. They do.
They're prepared to do it twice?
Yes.
Well, I think if you, I don't know if you were here for the, I think you were here for the discussion of these special development districts, of which the TID would be one. There certainly isn't. There's a fair amount of skepticism, I think, on the commission regarding that. I would encourage you to share your comments with County Council, because they're the ones who seem to be carrying this forward right now. I think we share some of the same concerns that others do, and that is that if the TID is established based on current zoning, then that sort of will create a limiting factor. In other words, that's mm-hmm. the top end. That's as good as ever going to get. And as everyone knows, with so much land that is zoned simply AR1, you know, we don't have MR land that was organically zoned that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, virtually every MR parcel is created by a request for a change of zone. So, you know, most the developments of any quality are going to be, have an MR component to them. So the idea is you don't want the TID to become the limiting factor on creating, instituting good land use. And often good land use involves some type of zoning change request in order to do what someone wants to have done and what might need to be done to conform to whatever else is in the area. So, That's a concern I think a lot of us have with the whole process. I'm not, as you might have gathered from my comments, I'm not particularly sold on the concept in the first place. So, but I think our county council seems to have a fair amount of interest in it, and I would encourage you to make your feelings known to them.
I will do. And then the last comment on that, I strongly urge you to lobby with the council to keep the control down here in Sussex County, because I can assure you, and as Mr. Ross knows, and 31 years, the trains always run up north, but the train never returns down south.
Well, so.
We all know that.
In the time I've been here, the best ordinances, the most effective ordinances have been homegrown, have been things mm-hmm. that have been done in concert with all the stakeholders, and I do mean all of them, you know. And that's the way I would hope, you know, to see that done, and really to see every other thing we do done that way, because that's how they seem to turn out best.
Yep, I agree. Last couple of things. Goal 1.3, which was, I think it talked about cluster zoning in AR property. And I think the goal was to identify or to identify the areas where cluster zone or where cluster zoning should be applicable adjacent to existing development.
No,
if you could pull it back up.
I think it's one where we changed it to, from review to approve because we already knew it had problems.
1.3.
That's the only one I remember saying anything about cluster.
I thought it was cluster.
But it's been a long day. It's been a long day.
Sorry. It was identify and designate future development areas in a manner that protect county natural and cultural resources. Once again, that's if I got an area out in a rural setting, right now I'm by right 2 units to the acre. So what happens to that?
What do you mean what happens to it?
Do we still can we still do development?
Sure. Oh yeah.
So if I got 100 acres, I can still do a 200 unit development minus roads, stormwater management, all the good stuff.
That's what it says to me.
Okay. I mean,
all of this is a fairly general.
Unless it's 100 acres of wetland, I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But if it's.
Oh no, we're going to count wetlands. Remember, we went through that discussion earlier.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
No, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. And then in closing, I just want to remind you. I said it last time. Listen to the market. No matter how much we all want to drive development to the western side of the county, I live on the western side of the county. My family's tried for years to improve the economy in the western side of the county. No matter how much we all want to do it, the people that's buying in Sussex County dictate where they want to locate.
Well, I think you might, again, you might gather from the discussion, and I'm just going to speak for myself, is that I don't think the way to do this, to do that, is to the way to do it is to encourage, incentivize, make it easier, less expensive for people to do things where on the western side where people just can't afford as much as you can on the eastern side. The idea isn't that the people from that would normally locate on the eastern side are suddenly going to come to the western side. That's not going to happen. People who want to live at the beach want to live at the beach, you know, and that's what the market's telling us, right? That's what the market's saying. But I want people on the western side of the county who are regular, just good, who are doing all the work, a lot of the work on the eastern side of the county, to have decent places to live too. Mm-hmm. So we need to create incentives for and vehicles that people can use to do good quality development all over the county. I'm not talking about restricting somebody from doing something somewhere else.
Well, just remember, the market dictates it.
Oh, I get it.
So, for instance, when you get into the math of it, once you pass a B market, because developers look at projects and they alphabetize them A, B, C, D, and F, and once you pass that B market, you can almost take free land and free infrastructure and can barely make the numbers work. So when it costs $30,000 to $40,000 and sometimes $45,000 to $50,000 a unit to improve single family lots with today's regulations, and you got a market that's saying they're only selling for $25,000 or $30,000, it doesn't work. So
well, you know, if you know your market's $150,000 to $200,000 a house, then you gotta figure out a way to do it or not do it.
And
if there's some way we can help people do that.
It will take some massive incentives. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
So, thank you for your time.
Indeed.
Thanks, Bobby.
Janelle,
who's next?
Before we move on the TIDs, we're not given any consideration to sewer allocation.
It is based. It's going to be based strictly on zoning and land use.
But I mean, if the sewer district within the TID is allocated a parcel for 4 units on the sewer district side and the AR zoning is 2, there's a 100%.
Right, but that goes back to what the property is zoned. Even though the sewer allocation might be increased, the zoning does not allow for that, which means.
But that means the sewer district is in deep trouble.
Well. There again, that becomes part of the discussion of how do you do it.
Do it, yeah.
Is current zoning really the best way to do it? And that's not, you know, this group, planning and zoning, the commission nor the department is the ones making that decision. They're not driving that chain train. No, this is the information that we're that we're being asked to provide. It's not you know, not making that decision. So talk to your county councilman about TIDs. Sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Kevin Burdett, Milton, Delaware. In your mapping, I was glad to see you had all the layers up today, but I could not read quick enough as she was flipping through them whether the land consumed through existing preservation programs is on there as a layer for like the Nature Conservancy's ground.
Yeah, we got that.
Delaware Wildlands, all of them.
Right? Delaware Wildlands and all that, okay. In the agribusiness district, and I know it came up at the last workshop with discussions, and there was a statement, Mr. Wheatley, that this body certainly was not pushing for no growth or no dwelling units in the agribusiness district. I would be cautious as we promote the agribusiness district, and I think it's a good idea, but it has come, that discussion has occurred at the council level twice by some of the councilmen that they would, if they saw an agri district, that one of the councilmen in particular would be much in favor of no residential development in that district. So,
well, he doesn't understand what we've discussed.
Not, I understand, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's interesting that you would mention that. I'm glad to know that.
The TIDs, I've said at a lot of the TID meetings, and Ms. Cornwell, I wish you the best, but taking the existing zoning isn't going to provide us with the information that DelDOT needs, because the only thing they're doing is designing roads that they should have designed already for the existing use that's supposed to be already there. And the last item is on the state planning office. You know, they develop the spending areas, but it has come through much debates with them that they do not look at private utilities, water, sewer being available when they're rating their spending. So in their mind, if it's not public water, public sewer, then they can't rate it a class one or spending area. So I would ask that you might want to consider that and note it as such when you meet with them. And I guess I got the question, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do they give you the state spending levels?
You weren't here for that discussion this morning.
No, I was over at another meeting.
Yeah, that point's point well taken. Noted.
I would ask that in Connie Holland, I think with your all's request, would include those items when they're evaluating properties.
Well, we will certainly take that up with Ms. Holland. She's certainly a friend of ours and a good co-working colleague. And so, yes, we'll chat with her about that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, come on up.
Well, thank you guys for putting in a long day.
Put it in with us.
Well, we've got a lot at stake. I mean,
you're here, don't we all?
So, a couple of specific points. I was looking at the different alternatives, and I guess alternative one was the growth corridor, and alternative two was the town annexation or town center.
Town center, yeah.
And I want to caution based on some of the comments, and I think the chairman mentioned something about this, but a lot of these towns have been very slow to grow since the 2008 comp plan. And one of the big critiques of the 2008 comp plan, which was very town-centric growth, was that's great, you're pushing all the growth to the towns, and that makes sense on a map or a piece of paper, but then the towns don't want the growth, so now what do we do? And I think that was a lot of the debate between you gentlemen was, okay, well, how do we serve them if that's where we're saying we've got to grow? And so I kind of caution against the town-centric and look at, like Mr. Horsey was talking about, where the market is growing. Well, the market's pretty well growing in the east, up 1, down 9, 24, you know, the east-west and north-south roads. But when you look at the alternative one slide, even though there's an admission on the slide right before that about Route 16 being a major corridor from Maryland serving the beach, there's a giant gap between 16 and it just all of a sudden starts at like the Lewis area. And so I caution with just saying, like, those people don't just hover over a large portion of the county. They're going through a large portion of the county that's just white space on a map. So there's that. And then I like the idea about the CPCN thing, but I also wanted to caution about, it was almost Mr. Robertson presented one, you know, devil's advocate point of view. And I'll present another one. So you don't have to have a CPCN unless you really want to handcuff yourself to a private utility to get into the county, which is a far better economic deal, both for the citizens of the county and the private landowners. You don't do a CPCN, you do a whole annexation process. So if you're in the hinterlands between Artesian or Tidewater and the county, you're pretty smart to not do a CPCN and tie yourself to the guys who are more expensive, but you might be in an area that makes a heck of a lot of sense to grow. So, you know, just be mindful of the fact that there's a lot of well-located land that's not tied to a CPCN because there are people out there that know the ropes with, you know, the public utilities, or private utilities, rather. So that leads me to this, you know, the blobs or blurbs or blobs, I forget the nomenclature, but I do like the terminology. But you can see on those maps of the blobs, and then what happens to the parcels that are in white that don't have the blobs around them? Does that mean that the parcels in white that have the blobs around them get bypassed? Again, like the Route 1 and the 16 corridor, or is it assumed that that growth, you know, has some adjacent factor? And the reason I bring this up is the infamous state strategies and spending maps. There's tons of instances where you have level 1 or level 2 growth adjacent to level 4. You know, I think we would all think, you know, it's a 4-ranked scale. You'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, but there's a lot of instances where you just go right from 1 or 2 directly to 4 with no intermediary step. Lastly, if you look at where the growth is, which, you know, I think we'd all agree is on the eastern side of the county, Commissioner Stevenson brought up, you know, Route 1 is growing. If you look at the commercial zoning on the three major north-south roads, or only north-south roads, 13-1 and 113, and you look at the red, which was the commercial zoning, on each road, proportionally, Route 1, which has the highest growth, has the smallest amount of commercial per mile on that north-south road. I think that's pretty interesting. I think it's probably not the way it should be. But that's the way it is on that map of current conditions. So again, I want to advocate for, as I said in a previous meeting, I think it was last week, an expansion of those commercial developing areas, whatever you want to call them. I think the town center thing that Mr. Robertson was explaining earlier. But whatever that is, it's pretty weird to have a long stretch of white on the map in the place where we're growing the most and a long stretch of red in areas where we're not really growing that much. It's kind of weird to have a lot of forest land, you know, between Milford and Ellendale in there, zone commercial, and it's got really no development potential for 20 years anyway. But for something like this, which is on Route 1, if it's white on the map, it's locked in for 10, and it's not in the growth zone for 10 years. So I think there's a lot of discrepancies, specifically with regard to 1 and commercial and growth versus 13 and 113. So, anyway, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Going once.
I don't talk, dude.
We got 1 minute left. Twice. All right, then. We thank you all very much for coming today, and appreciate your comments, and we'll see you next time. We stand adjourned. Peace and harmony.